Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of United We Fall, that the conversation between Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Suleiman is just about to move on to some serious talk, because we just finished all the introduction of all these speakers. Then we answered the question of why they were compelled to do this dialogue. And now we're going to hear a good reason from Pastor J.D. Greer about how it is difficult to hate someone after building a relationship with him, as if we, the Americans, just hate Muslim people for no reason. So without further ado, I want you to listen to the wise words of Pastor J.D. Greer.
It's a lot harder to hate and stigmatize somebody or a group of people when you've looked in the face of people that you call friends. I first entered this conversation when I lived over in a majority Muslim country. And so when I came back to the United States and things had heated up with the discussions because of just 9/11, various things that happened, and then you started to see just categorizations and stigmatization. In my mind, the first thing that pops when you say Muslim is one of my friends, Abdullah, and another friend of mine, Tarmizi. And I just, you know, I'm like, this that I'm hearing in terms of general terms and these individuals, that doesn't match up. And so I think conversations like this one benefit everybody.
So my goal is to make your list by the end of the night.
There you go.
Abdullah, okay. Tarmizi, and then Omar, you start quoting.
You got to walk back that LSU thing, and then we'll start there.
Pastor J.D. Greer is telling us it is hard to hate and stigmatize somebody you call a friend. I do not know if Pastor J.D. Greer is literally that naive to believe that because he lived in a Muslim-majority country and he made some friendships with some of the Muslims in this majority Muslim country, that we need to do the same thing here in America by building a friendship with all the Muslims who live in America. And if we do that, then it will be hard to hate them, as if we are not friends with them, we will automatically hate them. Why do some of the American people hate the Muslims? The answer is very simple. Not all Americans are Christians. If the American people, all of them, are born-again Christians, they will automatically love their enemies, because Christianity teaches us to love our enemies. We have to be like our Father in heaven, who loves us all, the righteous and the unrighteous, the evil and the good. And the scripture teaches to be like our Father is to love everybody. And Jesus was very clear. If we love those who love us, what difference does it make? Even sinners know how to love those who love them. Therefore, we have to love our enemies. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies. But in the same time, Pastor J.D. Greer is telling us that the American people hate the Muslims in America simply because they do not know them. They do not have a friendship with them. Do you know that most Muslims in the world do not know Islam? And I believe J.D. Greer, according to his talk here, does not know too much about Islam, even though he did some writings in his doctrine degree or in his schooling about Islam. Islam does not teach any Muslim to be a friend with an infidel, Jew or Christian, except when they practice taqiyya. Quran 3:28 is a very powerful verse I believe each and every one of us need to learn, because we can also be deceived like J.D. Greer by believing that there are Muslims who are our friends, not because we choose to take them as friends, but because they choose to take us for friends. And even if the Muslim of the world choose to take us as friends, that is simply because they do not know Islam. So the only way for a Muslim to take us for friend if they are practicing taqiyya, that is, they are protecting themselves from us. And this normally happens when Muslims are living as a minority in a foreign country, like Muslims who live in America. The Quran is very clear. Oh, you have believed, do not take the infidels for friends rather than believers. That's Quran 3:28. And anyone who does this, he has nothing to do with Allah. You, as a Muslim, will lose the protection of Allah if you take me, who is just to be a Christian or some Jewish guy as a friend. But then Allah gives exception. Except that you should guard yourself from them cautiously. And the interpretation of Quran 3:28 is very clear by all Muslim scholars. That is, for Muslims to take an infidel for a friend by their tongue and not by their heart. And this doctrine can only be practiced when Muslims are a minority in a foreign country. This is the reality about Muslim friendships. A good expression of that, if you have a cobra or some poisonous snake and you change its name to teddy bear, this will not change the nature of the snake. And if you are a wise man, you should never leave that snake with your children at home, even if you called him teddy bear. So making a friendship with Muslims will not change their nature. And we do not love them just because we call them friends. But we, as mature Christians, must love them simply because they are our enemies, as Christ commanded us to do. So I know that Pastor J.D. Greer made some friendships with these Muslims whom he met in the Muslim world. But is this Islam? The answer is absolutely not. Muslims in the Middle East, if they are following the teaching of the Quran, for sure they do not like us or love us, but they actually hate us. As for the Muslims who live in the West, they have no choice but to pretend to love us until they have the upper hand. Now, Pastor J.D. Greer is telling us, when he came back from overseas, from the Muslim world, he said he noticed that things were heated up in the discussion because of 9/11. Then he brushed off 9/11 as if it was nothing. Maybe Pastor J.D. Greer needs to understand that 9/11 is a serious problem. 9/11 is the loss of 3,000 American souls. Maybe if Pastor J.D. Greer had somebody close who died on September 11, maybe then he will have a little bit different take on September 11. Maybe Christians could forgive those who attacked us on September 11. But what about the rest of the Americans who are not Christians? They obviously have a natural hatred towards the Muslims who attacked us on September 11, as well as other Muslims who believe and willing to practice the teaching of Islam. But even if we forgive the Muslims, we should never minimize the September 11 attack. We should never belittle the value of the souls which were slaughtered on that wicked day. So having a heated discussion about September 11 is acceptable. Notice Pastor J.D. Greer uses these big words like categorization or stigmatization, as some preachers like to use big words to impress their audience. Then Pastor J.D. Greer said, in my mind, the first thing that pops in my mind when you say Muslim is my friend Abdul and my friend Armiza. And this obviously shows us that Pastor J.D. Greer is a naive person. Because the first thing that pops into my head when somebody says Muslim is Allah, the devil himself, Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, the Quran, the savage teaching of Islam, and the millions of Christians and others who were killed by the hand of the Muslims, like the victims of September 11. Then Pastor J.D. Greer said, this that I am hearing in general terms and these individuals, that doesn't match up. In simple words, what Pastor Greer is telling us, you cannot put all the Muslims in one lump, or you cannot paint all the Muslims with one big wide brush. Well, guess what? We don't even have to paint Islam with a big white brush. All what we need to do is just open the 5-gallon bucket of red paint and dump it on the floor, and that will be Islam. You don't need a brush or a roller to describe Islam. Because Islam itself is a savage cult. Allah is the devil, and Muhammad is a very wicked, evil, sinful man. And when you listen to Pastor J.D. Greer speaking about not generalizing the Muslims, not painting the Muslims with the same brush, he is actually telling us in this wonderful dialogue that there are good Muslims and there are bad Muslims. Once again, this is a lie. And that's why we do not like to have dialogues, but we like to do debates. Because in dialogue, you have to be nice. And in dialogue, you have to speak nice about some of the Muslim people. But in debates, we speak the truth about how evil Islam is. Trust me, for the rest of this dialogue, you will never hear Pastor J.D. Greer saying anything negative about Muslims or Islam. That nice talk is not going to help America, nor the church or the Muslims of America. It actually gives them a good feeling. After all, I am Abdul, Pastor J.D. Greer's friend. And the rest of the Americans must do the same. We all must follow the good example of Pastor J.D. Greer by pretending that September 11 is nothing. We cannot generalize the Muslims in one category. There are some good Muslims and some bad Muslims, and that itself is a lie from the bottom of hell.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
If you are a Muslim believer, you must practice what Islam teaches, which means you must be a terrorist. You must be a jihadi. You must be a savage man or woman. Now, if you don't like that about Islam, you're quite welcome to leave Islam. And we would love to see you becoming a Christian. For my friends, Islam is Islam. If some people who claim to be Muslims do not practice Islam, that is their business. And believe it or not, you don't have to be a Muslim jihadi extremist to go to hell. You can be the best Muslim you can ever be, and you still go to hell. You know why? Because you missed the straight way, Jesus Christ. Because without him, you are lost forever. Without him, when you die, you'll go to hell forever. This is reality. There are no good Muslims because Islam is evil. So even if you are not practicing Islam, that does not make Islam a good religion because Islam is evil. And not having Christ as Lord and Savior will send you to the same hell as every non-Christian believer. Then Pastor J.D. Greer ended with, here is a good reason why we have this dialogue. Listen carefully. He said, conversations like this helps everybody. No. You're dead wrong, sir. This dialogue you have with Imam Omar Suleiman will not help anybody. This dialogue you have with Imam Omar Suleiman will hurt even Mr. Omar Suleiman himself because you did not show him that he is lost and is following a savage cult because you did not expose any of the truths of how evil Islam to him. And without all that, nothing you can share about Christ will change Omar Suleiman or any of his Muslim audience. This conversation you have with Imam Omar Suleiman hurts every Muslim in the audience because they left the meeting believing that they are the good Muslims, like your friend Abdul. This conversation will not help the average Americans because now they left the meeting, as we have seen already from the surveys they did at the end of the program, with good, positive feelings about Muslims and Islam. You, Pastor J.D. Greer, you helped the Muslims to have victory night as they celebrate this dialogue they had with you. Now, in the end of this segment, we heard Imam Omar Suleiman make a remarkable statement. He said, my goal is to make your list by the end of the night, so you will add my name. Here we go, America. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we do not know who Abdul is, who Pastor J.D. Greer referred to as his friend. But for sure we know who Imam Omar Suleiman is. Imam Omar Sleeman is hoping to be on the good Muslims list of Pastor J.D. Greer. List of Muslims we must love, as if he has no connection with September 11th. But guess what? Imam Omar Sleeman is a Muslim jihadi. He's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He's here to speak on the behalf of the MSA, the Muslim Student Association. Imam Omar Sleeman has the same goal which every Muslim jihadi in the world hopes to accomplish in America. Let me remind you again of what Imam Omar Sleeman believes. Because Imam Omar is not the typical Muslim who does not know Islam. Imam Omar Sleeman is a professor of Islam. He is a graduate from the Muslim schools. He knows Islam forward and backwards. He knows the Muslim Brotherhood creed, which goes like this. Allah is our goal. The messenger, that is Muhammad, is our model. The Quran is our constitution. Jihad is our means. Martyrdom in the way of Allah is our aspiration. This is Imam Omar Sleeman. Now, let me remind also of what the MSA, as any of the other members of the 30 jihadi organizations who are known to be the Muslim Brotherhood, hope to accomplish in America. That is what the Muslim Brotherhood wrote in the explanatory memorandum, which has the general strategic goal for the Muslim Brotherhood, not for Saudi Arabia, not for some Muslim country overseas, but for North America, for us here. This is what they wrote by their own hands. The strategic goal of the group in America, that is the Muslim Brotherhood in America, that is the strategic goal for Imam Omar Sleeman in America, is enablement of Islam in North America, meaning establishing an effective and a stable Islamic movement led by the Muslim Brotherhood, which works to expand the observant Muslim base and presents Islam as a civilization alternative and supports the global Islamic State wherever it is. Imam Omar is hoping to replace our civilization by the future of the Islamic civilization in America. And at the same time, he is hoping to get on the list of Pastor J.D. Greer as a good Muslim. Imam Omar Sleeman also states, as all members of the Muslim Brotherhood, we must understand that our work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging it so that it is eliminated and Islam is made victorious. It is a Muslim's destiny to perform jihad. Hello, Pastor J.D. Greer. Here's your man whom you're sitting with, talking with, laughing with, and I guarantee you, he's already on your list. How do I know that? Before you even did this dialogue with him, you said, he's good people. Because your other Christian friend in Texas told you that he is a good guy. A Muslim jihadi who's here in America to eliminate our existence by the Islamic civilization, by performing jihad for Allah. To you, he is a good person. Let's move on to something else. Imam Omar Sleeman is working on all the days of his life. Don't forget, we said what? Not Mr. Omar Sleeman, but Imam Omar Sleeman. Where do you think Imam Omar Sleeman is working? In some church? No. In some synagogue? No. He's working in an Islamic center, a mosque, a masjid. So why do you think Imam Omar Sleeman is excited about building mosques in America? It's very simple. Here it is. This is not my own opinion about what he's hoping to do, but this is in the Muslim Brotherhood own handwritings. Establishing Islamic center in every city that's in America, not overseas. The center we seek is the one which constitutes the axis of our movement, the perimeter of the circle of our work, our balance center, the base for our rise and to educate us, prepare us, and supply our battalions. So now we learn that the mosque is not a place of worship, but it is a place for supplying the battalions of the Muslims. Well, guess what? The day will come and Imam Omar Sleeman would be using these Islamic centers in America to give the Muslims and those who will go on riots to destroy America the weapons they need. So the battalions will be ready to perform jihad here in America. The Muslim Brotherhood continue to say, Thus, the Islamic center would turn into a place of for study, family, battalion, etc. As much as we own and direct these centers at the continent level, America, we can say we are marching successfully towards the settlement of Islam in this country. And how's it going to do that? It's very simple. Once again, they said the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process. With what all the words mean? The Brotherhood must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging their miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. This is your friend, Imam Omar Suleiman, who is hoping by the end of this wonderful dialogue with you, he will be on your list as a good Muslim friend. Now do you see, my friends, why this conversation is very dangerous? Now you know why I call this study United We Fall, because that unity between Pastor J.D. Greer and Imam Omar Suleiman, it means that Allah's religion, Islam, will be made victorious in America. That means that our civilization will be destroyed, eliminated from within by Pastor J.D. Greer's hand and his people in his church, if they follow his teachings, hands. I'm sorry. This is absurd foolishness. And to continue our study off, United We Fall, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.